It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 104 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. Tim, it's been a long road, 104 episodes, and now we finally get to talk about X-Wing.
Yes, X-Wing in the truest sense. Last week, Fantasy Flight released an article spoiling Wave 14 expansions coming out. We've got two. One being the TIE Reaper expansion, a new Imperial ship, as well as Saw's Renegades, which comes with two ships, reprints of previous ships, the U-Wing, as well as a T-65 X-Wing, and a slew of new pilot and upgrade cards.
Yeah, and I can't wait to play non-Biggs X-Wings, so let's just get right to it.
All right, let's start by talking about the TIE Reaper expansion. This is a $30 large box expansion coming out. And this ship actually first appeared in Rogue One, and I didn't even notice it the first time because, I mean, me and Carson both agreed it kind of looks like a close-up TIE Striker when it appears in that movie.
Right, but in the same way that all TIE ships kind of look the same, here we have another variant, another model, and this one's pretty exciting. I mean, save the dream, Tim. I've always dreamed of having a small base ship to carry Emperor Palpatine around. Now I get to live that dream.
Yeah, I was always bummed out when the TIE shuttle, which gave you those two crew slots on the TIE bomber, limited the point cost that those crew slots could be, so you couldn't fit that 8-point Emperor Palpatine on there. Now we finally have what I presume will be a cheaper option to carry Emperor Palpatine. We only currently know the highest pilot scale pilot coming on this ship at the cost of 26 points, so we don't know what the low-end generics are going to be. But we do know the details about the general chassis here. It's got 3 attack dice and 1 agility die, as well as 6 hull points and 2 shields. And its action bar includes the focus action, the evade action, as well as the jam action.
Yeah, and while that's, you know, fewer hit points than the Lambda shuttle, which I think is what everyone's going to be comparing this to, or more points than the TIE bomber as the other double crew slot carrier for the Empire, that evade token is pretty big. I mean, the Lambda's 1 agility, that thing can go down to focus fire or just consistent turn after turn when a ship gets behind it and whittles it down over the course of a few turns. An evade token plus, say, Palpatine modifying your 1 evade die means you can evade 2 results a turn with this thing, meaning it could last considerably longer than a Lambda.
Well, and as a TIE fighter, it does also have access to the lightweight frame modification, so which would effectively be a permanent agility upgrade. Given that lightweight frame triggers when the opponent rolls more attack dice than you roll defense dice, and with just 1 agility die, that would be almost every case possible, except, I guess, a Hawk primary weapon, right?
Yeah, that felt personal there, Tim. yeah, this thing seems pretty resilient, which is the main thing you want for your Palpatine carrier. And that jam action seems interesting.
Yeah, this one was a little weird. The jam action already appeared in Epic X-Wing play, but it seems to function a little bit differently. In Epic, a jam action lets you give a ship up to 2 stress tokens or give it stress tokens until it has 2 at range 1-2. This one seems to function more like the jamming beam that we saw come out with the Alpha Class Starwing, where it assigns some kind of jam token, we presume, and that prevents that ship from using Focus Evade or Blue Target Locks.
Yeah, so it seems like the jam action is going to focus like a opposite coordinate action, and so instead of granting an action to a nearby ship, you're taking away one of your opponent ship's actions, which is pretty cool. It's good to see the Empire get more control love, and it seems like the upgrade cards coming with this are also going to add more control synergy.
It does seem like this one might have a little bit of trouble moving around. The one maneuver we've seen off of its maneuver dial is a red hard 2 turn, which is strikingly similar to the Lambda class shuttle's dial. So this one might have a little bit of trouble turning around quickly.
Good. That's fine. It needed to be balanced.
This ship also comes with 2 more named pilots and a generic pilot, but we don't know what those point costs are quite yet. So it'll be a little while. We'll have to wait for another spoiler article before we can talk too much about the exact application of this ship. It does come with a couple of interesting new Imperial-only crew cards. One of them, Director Krennic, is a 5-point single crew slot card that reads, Imperial only, during setup, before the Place Forces step, assign the optimized prototype condition to a friendly galactic Empire ship with 3 or fewer shields. And with that card, there is a new condition card. We're not sure if we have the full text yet, but what we can read from the spoiler says, increase your shield value by one. Once per round, when performing a primary weapon attack, you may spend one die result to remove one shield from the defender.
That's good. Shields are kind of boring. We need to get rid of those things as quickly as possible and start dealing some damage cards, which are always more interesting.
Yeah, that actually is kind of interesting because it does provide a way for Imperials to deal with regenerating ships like Poe Dameron, who's really popular right now, outside of just dealing damage. So you can kind of force damage through by spending your die results.
But he's an expensive Imperial crew. Usually people are just going to take Palpatine instead, right?
I would think so.
I think Death Troopers are a little bit more interesting here.
Yeah, Death Troopers is a 2-point double crew slot Imperial-only crew card. I guess the double crew slot thing's becoming a lot more common now. It reads, after another friendly ship at range 1 becomes the defender, if you are inside the attacker's firing arc at range 1 to 3, the attacker receives one stress token.
So this is a inverse of Rebel Captive and actually synergizes pretty well with Rebel Captive. So if Death Troopers are on your ship and your opponent shoots your other ships, then they'll take a stress token. If that other ship had Rebel Captive on it, they'll take two stress tokens, and if your ship has both Death Troopers and Rebel Captive, say on a decimator, then no matter what ship they target, they'll take a stress token, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and the Imperials actually could have used some new control options, so it's nice to see this on board. It does give a list with both Death Troopers and Rebel Captive, the potentials to create kind of a pseudo Biggs Darklighter effect, where a ship that has Rebel Captive next to a ship that has Death Troopers, you really don't want to shoot that ship with Rebel Captive because you're going to take a stress token when you target the ship with Rebel Captive and then take another stress token from Death Troopers. And being double stressed is really bad because that'll kill your action efficiency.
Unless you're Porkins. He'll fly right through that stress.
All right. Well, it looks like we're going to get some interesting stuff in this new expansion. It is cool to see a small base support dedicated platform coming from the Imperials. It also has 3 attack dice natively, which gives it some pretty decent damage output. So it'll be interesting to see what these other pilot abilities are, and as well as these other upgrade cards coming in this expansion. On the other end, though, we've got some new Rebel stuff coming. We've got the Saw's Renegades expansion, which comes with a repainted U-Wing and a repainted T-65 X-Wing, along with a bunch of new pilots and a bunch of new upgrade cards.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what all comes with this expansion because it seems like they had some issues with getting their right images for the right cards out on the file. The pilot cards don't quite match what bases are shown. But it seems like we're getting some S-foils for our X-Wings, which I'd say is about time.
Yeah, along with a bunch of other familiar and new upgrade cards. It does come with a copy of Flight Assist Astromech, so that's really nice. Those are pretty hard to come by right now. Currently only available in the Sheathipede class expansion. It also comes with a copy of your favorite upgrade card, Carson. We got Crackshot in there.
Good, I need more copies of that. Yeah, I'm really glad Flight Assist is in there because I'm guessing I'm going to need a few more copies of it.
Well, and this expansion also comes with a whole bunch of new pilots here. From what we can tell, it comes with 3 new named X-Wing pilots at pilot skill 4, 5, and 7, as well as new generic pilot skill 1 X-Wings. At least 3 of them.
Maybe 5.
Image currently shows 5. I think that's a mistake, though. I think those top 2... pilot skill
what?
Ones are probably
there has
supposed to be
never
U-wings.
Been a mistake in
in a fantasy an, flight article.
Yeah,
never happened.
This is truth here. They only tell us the truth on their release articles. Yeah, so we don't know too much about what new stuff we're getting for the X-Wings, but we can see we're getting new X-Wing pilots, some new X-Wing focused upgrades. Don't know what S-foils do, but they're T-65 only, and that's honestly enough to get me pretty excited.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have a lot of new options, particularly for the T-65 X-Wing. I am interested in that pilot skill 1 generic X-Wing. Currently, the pilot skill 2 generic rookie pilot comes in at 21 points. So at the minimum, I would expect this pilot skill 1 to be 20, possibly 19, do you think?
Yeah, 19 with an EPT. I think that makes sense.
I don't know if it's going to have an elite pilot talent. That seems
actually,
unlikely.
No, it
that
probably
would be
needs
cool,
to be
though.
18 because I need to fit in Crackshot and Flight Assist and Integrated. That's the dream,
and then,
right?
And then run 5 of those in the list. Save the dream, Carson.
I mean, that's why they printed Harpoon Missiles, was to keep the 5 X-Wing Crackshot Swarm in check. So
I for one, welcome our new metagame overlords, the 5 T-65 list. It's going to be great. We got a couple cards revealed here fully. We have Targeting Scrambler, which is a unique system upgrade for 0 points, the new competitive price point to compete with Fire Control System.
Hate 0 point upgrades. At least they made it unique. Still hate it. There's too many 0 point upgrades.
This card reads, at the start of the planning phase, you may receive a weapons disabled token to choose a ship at range 1 to 3 and assign it the scrambled condition. We also have the new scrambled condition card, which reads, when attacking a ship at range 1 that is equipped with the targeting scrambler upgrade, you cannot modify your attack dice. At the end of the combat phase, remove this card. So it looks like a more defensive option here being presented with the U-Wing. It's got a kind of narrow application there. You are giving up your attack to use this ability, and it only targets one other ship. And since this is a unique upgrade card, you're not going to be able to fit multiples of these in a list. I'm not sure if this is exactly what the U-Wing needed, because it's kind of hard to pull off. You have to give up your attack to use this. They have to be at range 1 for the condition to trigger, and it only triggers against the ship with targeting scrambler. And all it does is just prevent them from modifying their attack. They could still roll natural hits or crits and do a bunch of damage to you.
Yeah, it's not great. This might be an okay 0 point card to exist.
We also have the text for a new Rebel-only crew card, Saw Gerrera, which comes in at 1 point. And it reads, when attacking, you may suffer 1 damage to change all of your focus results into critical results. This is a really good value.
Yeah, this is probably too good, right? 1 point for a improved expertise result, but at the cost of hit points, which in other factions is probably fine, but rebels are renowned for having more hit points than they need.
Well, yeah, particularly on a ghost where that 1 hit point is really worth generating a bunch of crit results. This could really become a staple in all the ghost lists we've been seeing.
Yeah, I mean, it seems great. I mean, he's a cool character. I do like dealing damage as a resource. I think that's mechanically pretty interesting. And that allows this guy to be pretty aggressively costed.
Yeah, I think the only real worry I have is that it might be a little too good of a value for a ship like the Ghost, where they already have so many hit points, and they can be combined with abilities like Lorik in the Azatuk gunship to give them extra defense.
Yeah, I mean, this thing's probably great on Azatuks, too. They got a bunch of hit points and extra crew slots.
Yeah, so I think we'll definitely see a lot of application for Saw Gerrera. As for the rest of the cards in this expansion, we don't know all the text yet. There appears to be a double-sided card called Servo Motors S-Foils, and it seems to reference things like boosts. It looks like it's a T-65 modification, but we don't quite have the full card text for how that works. We do know the new named Pilot Skill 7, T-65 X-Wing Pilot, has an ability that references this card. Cool B Sperato says, after you perform a booster barrel roll action, you may flip your equipped Servo Motor S-Foils upgrade card. That's a pilot with an elite pilot talent ability, and it comes in at 26 points. Interesting to note that the T-65 doesn't have any native access to boost or barrel rolls, so presumably this new
This must be S-Foils another typo card. On these Fantasy Flight news articles.
What they meant was focus or target lock.
Right. Those are its two actions.
So given that the X-Wing doesn't currently have access to a native booster barrel roll, I would assume that the S-Foils card gives it some sort of ability to do that. It seems to be what's being referenced on what we can see on these cards, too.
We can only dream, Tim, and hope and speculate, and I hope X-Wings are going to be awesome. I want TIE Defender X7 pre-nerf level of awesome with my X-Wings.
Yeah, given the limited amount of knowledge we have on these new cards, it's hard to say what kind of impact they're going to have on the game fully, but it does make me optimistic that classic X-Wings will finally really become a part of X-Wing again after so many years in the shadows. Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. We are ready to announce our raffle prizes for the month of March. Next month, we will be giving away 2 copies of the Zuckuss Alt Art Pilot card. This is the pilot card currently given away as a prize for the top 64 players in the current regional season. So if you guys are interested in winning this prize, be sure to become a patron of Radio TCX at patreon.com/radiotcx and support us at any level. I'm a little bit behind on sending out a lot of the rewards from the Patreon stuff. I've had a busy couple months, but I'm trying to get that all settled out. So I should be able to send out the outstanding rewards by the end of this week. So hopefully you guys should be getting those. If you're waiting on something, should be getting it in the next week or two. Thank you guys so much for supporting Radio TCX. Now, back to the cast. All right, so after talking about the new Saw's Renegades expansion, Carson and I were thinking we wanted to talk a little bit more about where the T-65 is at, where it's been in the game's history, and maybe some of the problems it's had, as well as some of the possible solutions we might see from this expansion.
Yeah, I mean, so this is the ship that started the whole game out. It started out being not as quite as good as the TIE fighter at rate, but not by much. You know, it's got 3 hull, 2 shields, backed up by 2 agility, and then 3 attack dice. The only ship with 3 attack dice in wave 1. Let that sink in for a moment. This was the ship with the highest attack value for 1 whole wave. It's got the torpedo and astromech slot, as well as the focus and target lock actions. And then a lot of its characters have elite pilot talents.
And the T-65 X-Wing is really interesting because amongst all the ships in X-Wing, I think it's pretty fair to say that it's received the most power increases in new expansions that come out. Over the course of the game's history, we saw early on between waves 3 and 4 the Rebel Transport expansion, which of course came with a alternate paint scheme T-65, as well as a bunch of new pilot cards and new astromech cards.
Right, and when I'm thinking about playing X-Wing again, these are the pilots I'm kind of most excited about. Wes Jensen, Tarn Meissen, just really good pilot abilities. Abilities like Wes Jensen's, where after you perform an attack, you can take a token away from the defender, are enticing enough that you would take a suboptimal chassis just to have that ability as part of your squad. Now, the value on that ability has gone down because there's been new tokens that have come out that, you know, Wes's ability doesn't reference. Wish he could take away reinforce or cloaking tokens. But in general, this expansion came out with really good pilot abilities. It also came out with some great astromechs, which were all great on Big Starkleider.
Well, they're really important ones, too. Cards like R3-A2, what we call the stress droid, being able to deal out stress tokens when you declare an attack. We also had cards like R5-P9, which was another regenerating astromech, which became very important for ships like Poe Dameron for a time. And a lot of these upgrades we still see nowadays.
Yeah, don't forget R4-D6, a great survivability droid. There's one that grants an elite pilot talent slot.
A lot of really important influential stuff came out of this expansion. But even still, over time, the T-65 still faded out of the limelight there. We got another boon come around Wave 8 with the release of all the new Force Awakens-related stuff. We've got the integrated astromech modification for X-Wings only, so both T-65s and T-70s. And this came out in the standalone T-70 X-Wing expansion.
Yeah, I mean, and this addressed one of the X-Wing's issues, its survivability. So 5 hit points backed up by 2 green dice. It's kind of a weird middle of the road where as damage from attacks has increased in power, either in the consistency or just the weight of dice being thrown, the X-Wing survivability has just been not enough for its point costs. You know, ships with fewer hit points but more agility and some defensive actions have been fine, and ships with more hit points and fewer agility have also been fine where they can survive those spike damage attacks. But the X-Wing is kind of stuck in the middle there where it could still die to some opening attacks, and it also doesn't have the agility to completely evade an attack either.
Yeah, so integrated astromech really helped here. It comes in at 0 points. It's a modification, which is good because the T-65 didn't really have a go-to modification card, so it was very easy to include this in lists. And, of course, integrated astromech, you can, when you are dealt a damage card, you can discard your astromech card to discard the damage card you're dealt, which effectively gave this ship an extra hit point, assuming you had an astromech equipped.
But, unfortunately, all this really did was just make Big stronger and not really enough to help the other X-Wings. Developers really struggled on how to make X-Wings great without having Biggs take over.
Yeah, it seemed like any boost they gave to T-65s really helped Biggs Darklighter more than anything else. For, I would say, most of the game's history, Biggs Darklighter has been the most relevant T-65 X-Wing, with very occasional appearances by ships like Wes Jansen or Tarn Meissen.
Yeah, I mean, even Wedge Antilles reducing the defender's agility value, that's a great pilot ability. But you just can't keep Wedge alive long enough. Unless, of course, you use Biggs, maybe. But, you know, we did have a Biggs nerf. And since then, we've gotten now 2 pretty big boosts to the T-65. First, we got that flight assist astromech, which is a great 1-point astromech for these ships.
Yeah, Flight Assist, currently coming in the Phantom 2 expansion, will also get a copy in this Saw's Renegade expansion. This has become a new important astromech card. Flight Assist astromech costs 1 point, and it reads, you cannot attack ships outside of your firing arc. After you execute a maneuver, if you did not overlap a ship or obstacle, and there are no enemy ships inside your firing arc at range 1 to 3, you may perform a free boost or barrel roll action.
Yeah, and so, I mean, X-Wings just have that focused target lock action. They have an okay dial, a lot of white maneuvers, but they have a lot of maneuvers. They have most of the options available to them, except all the fancy talon rolls and sloops. But it's really, their mobility has been impacted just by no repositioning actions. And, you know, if you use a mod slot to get repositioning actions, well, then you're giving up integrated astromech and your survivability is still not great. So Flight Assist, you know, allows them to get arc and use their, you know, arced primary attack value. Basically use them how they were made to be used.
Yeah, so even though the T-65 hasn't always been the most relevant force, or it's really been limited to Biggs Darklighter, they do have a lot of great stuff going for them. Like we talked about, some really great pilot abilities there. Wes Janson's ability is very strong. Things like Biggs Darklighter's ability for a long time was one of the best in the game, if not the best.
And the T-65s have pretty great pilot skill options. You have Wedge Antilles at 9, Luke Skywalker and Wes Janson at 8, 2 pilot skill 7s. So there's a lot of great options and choices at high pilot skills, kind of more than a lot of other ships. And so, you know, Flight Assist giving some repositioning there is pretty great.
Well, and just having access to the astromech slot, which is one of the most powerful slots in the game of X-Wing, you've got so many options there, covering a lot of different areas of the game, whether they're defensive regenerating droids or cards like R3A2, which allow you to deal out stress. A lot of fantastic options on the T-65. And as we see more and more ships released with the astromech slot, we continue to see more and more new astromech options. But over time, the game of X-Wing has evolved and continues to evolve, and for a lot of reasons, the T-65 has not been able to keep up with other new ships being released.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully S-Foils can fix all that, and maybe there's some other cards that will also put some more bandages onto these X-Wings so that they're able to hold their own against, you know, the most powerful ships that are seen play in the competitive scene. I hope the days of Miranda Donnie and Nim and Asajj Quick Draw are all over and it's just X-Wings versus X-Wings. That sounds great.
Well, hopefully X-Wings versus TIE Fighters, but yeah, I get where you're coming from.
No, they'll never be great again. They had their day in the sun. It's the X-Wing's turn.
So I think really, I mean, kind of two or three main things we'd like to see coming from T-65s in the future, perhaps from Saw's Renegades or other expansions that have X-Wing relevant cards. There are some key issues with the X-Wings that we'd like to see addressed. So one problem that X-Wings have is that they don't have really good action efficiency compared to where the game has gone since then. We kind of have a baseline now where really good ships, particularly ships at high pilot skills, need to be averaging about 2 to 3 actions worth of abilities. So T-65s don't really have action efficiency that meets up to the standards of this Wave 13 era we live in.
Right. I mean, they just have the focused target lock as options. And then, you know, you can get maybe some action efficiency out of the astromech slot or perhaps your elite pilot talent slot. Things like Push the Limit are not great on these X-Wings where they only have 4 green maneuvers. And what are you pushing into, you know, being able to focus target lock? That's not necessarily the best option. And even if you take like Predator, well, you're just kind of doubling down on the same thing again. You know, compare that to, you know, a ship like the Inquisitor. That's probably one of the more fair ships that's doing well currently in Wave 13. That's getting 3 actions a turn. It has a huge range of options. You know, it can have target lock, focus evade. Those are great tokens. And then it has access to boost and barrel roll for repositioning. So it not only is getting 2 more actions than a normal X-Wing, it's also got crazy action diversity. And I think the Inquisitor is also a pretty good comparison there. You know, it's pretty high pilot skill, but your high pilot skill X-Wings are probably going to come in around that low 30 price point as well. Right now, they currently are way below that Inquisitor standard of action efficiency. But that's kind of where the bar is.
And it's not just action efficiency that's holding them up, too. You mentioned earlier, they are in kind of an awkward mid-range of hit points and agility dice there. Just 2 agility dice on the T-65 X-Wing and only 5 hit points, or 6 if you're using integrated astromech, which makes them pretty susceptible to spike damage either from lots of 3 or 4 dice attacks or a couple of missile or torpedo shots.
Yeah, I mean, 2 harpoon missiles should finish off any T-65 currently.
Or if you're really unlucky, you might get taken down by 1 5-dice harpoon missile from Miranda. Yeah, and really, nowadays, if you're flying an X-Wing list, ordnance has become such a significant part of this game, you are going to need an answer for those harpoon missile attacks, especially lists that could come at you with multiple harpoon missiles. And just having 2 agility dice modified by maybe a focus token isn't going to do it. You're either going to need to deny those shots from happening, or going to have enough dice and hit points to absorb them.
Yeah, I mean, we do see an evade token in this kit, so perhaps there's some way for X-Wings to get free evade tokens, hopefully comparable to, like, X7 style. That would be great. You know, Luke Skywalker's pilot ability of converting focus results to evade results on defense would really like an evade token. And I have a lot of alt-art Luke Skywalker cards that I never really get to use.
Yeah, so we would definitely like to see T-65s get better action efficiency, both for offense and defense. It would also be awesome if we had some really good or any repositioning options that were practical for the T-65. Obviously, we have the vectored thrusters modification out there, but that conflicts with things like integrated astromech, where you're already using that mod slot, and I think integrated's still preferable to a 2-squad point barrel roll option.
I mean, they could also just boost that attack power, right? It's got 4 weapon barrels on there. Thing shoots 4 lasers, 4 red dice doesn't sound unreasonable, right?
Well, this and that would bring it up power level-wise to where a ship like that kind of needs to be in the metagame as it is, where if it's not going to be running with a bunch of torpedoes, it needs to have some way to push out a bunch of damage. Maybe not even necessarily rolling extra attack dice. It would be cool to just have a fairly costed way to add hit results or crit results, right?
Nah, I want 4 lasers, 4 red dice.
Okay, fair enough. 4 cannons on the X-Wing.
It's fair.
That seems...
I want 5 of them in a squad.
So 20. So that's what you're demanding.
With room for crack shot.
All right, so you need 5 X-Wings in your list, so they need to be able to have crack shot and come in at 20 points and roll 4 attack dice.
Yeah, and then that's 20 points with a 1-point flight assist on there.
All right, well, I will email Fantasy Flight, and hopefully they'll get that sorted out right away.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't gotten the images revealed yet, so there's still time. I like to set my demands high, and hopefully they'll meet me in the middle. I could lose crack shot.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radiotcx. Like our Facebook page. You can also leave us a review on Facebook. Go ahead and give us 5 stars. That's a great way to reach a wider audience. People see those 5-star reviews, and we really appreciate all the ones we've received so far.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
You can also go into iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. This is really important for us reaching a wider audience there. People do see the 5-star reviews on iTunes, and it is really important. We do appreciate everyone who's left us a 5-star review. It's always cool to see those pop up every couple weeks.
This week, we're going to give a shout out to Rhinus4, who left us a review saying the show was quick, informative, and relative without the egos or unnecessary salty filter material of other shows. Thanks, Rhinus4.
And a huge thank you again to everyone who's left us a review. We really do appreciate it.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Yay, X-Wings!